bow our heads in prayer. Loving and mighty God, at this hour and this minute, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, if you did notice in the schedule that I was going to be the preacher here this morning, you probably figured, okay, here we are. We're going to be preached to all about love, the power of love. And what else do we ever preach about here? And also, it's Mother's Day. You know, this is like T-ball. It's like, just set it right up there, and I'm just going to drive this thing. You know, I will confess, I guess, to being a little bit of a mama's boy, you know, that whole Oedipal thing and everything. At least on the son and mother side, there's just the affection, so that's good. You know, there's, in this world, I guess there are mama's boys and there are daddy's little girls, and that's the way that it does go. I remember when television first created like really good quality shoulder head, quote unquote, handheld color TV cameras. They use them a lot going down the bench at football games. A great place to do it. And because it was still a novelty at the time, do you remember all the time all the players would crowd in front of the camera and then all be, yeah. And I remember one time on Monday Night Football that Al Michaels said, why is it always hi, Mom? You know, why don't they ever say Dad? And Dan Dierdorf responded immediately, because Mom's the one who brought the hot food to the table. And that is the truth. This little story that I shared with the children this morning about the magic towel, that was Frank Ostaseski. He's the founder of the Zen Hospice Center here in the city that does such good work, provides the chaplaincy services over at Laguna Honda Hospital, and he's gone on now to found the Metta Institute to do real studies with spiritual healing in end-of-life situations. And I just love that story because I really think that it captures more or less the essence of what so many of us think of when we think of mom, of mother, just this amazingly magical, nourishing, nurturing person who just loves us endlessly. It's practically a universal concept. Almost a universal concept. And yet, years ago, one of my first Mother's Day sermons, I thought I did a spectacular job and knocked the ball out of the park and went home feeling good about myself. And it was Mother's Day evening and about to take my dear wife and our children off for a somewhat delayed Mother's Day meal. I know this morning all over the city there are thousands of kitchens that are just awash in pancake batter and things like that. Since I had to work in the morning, we delayed it to the afternoon. And as we're heading out the door, the phone rings, and I said, oh, I'll get that, and answered it. And it was someone who had been at the service that morning, a troubled individual who had found our congregation for a little bit of time. And to use the common term, he called to rip me a new one. He complained bitterly about those fat, contented cows who sat there just sopping up all the saccharin that I poured in front of them. And not to use his language accurately, but basically informed me that any critter could produce offspring, that it was nothing special at all. And I thought, oh my God, the hurt and the pain that he must have endured in his life to have these feelings on this day. And remember, my wife and kids are already in the car waiting for me to come out. And I talked with them as best I could. And I thought also of the pain and the hurt that his mother must have felt and how far back these things go, and how broken. Things that even on the happiest day of celebration, we forget how much brokenness there is in this world. And as we look around the edges, we see it everywhere. Now, this is not perhaps what we are hoping, you were hoping to hear coming in here on Mother's Day, but is this the place that we come to create just elaborate fantasies of the world? Or a place where we come to really examine life as it is and the world as it is? So much brokenness. And the question must arise, how in the world could this have happened? When in the good book we are told in the very beginning that God looked at everything that he had created and saw that it was good, saw that it was very good. And then we find so much broken. How could it be in this, the Lord's perfect creation, we would think. And we look back at that same good book and we find the answer for many people. Well, there's original sin. We have this story of Adam and Eve and the serpent and the garden, and we broke the rules there, and henceforth and forevermore, mankind must pay for this. We are all tainted and stained by that occasion. And a workable answer for some people, unless people do not take the Bible as a literal truth. Now, for what it's worth, other answers to the question. Our Buddhist friends would tell us, I got up and we were singing because I was watching this bumblebee, damaged bumblebee, crawling across the floor, and he was going to be right here where I was standing. So I did my best Buddhist thing, and I lifted him on a cart and carried him out and put him in the garden. They would tell us that this world is broken and that there is so much suffering and pain because of unfulfilled desires. And the secret to escaping the suffering is to put away the desires. Now, here in our church, that's really not too terribly far, I think, from our interpretation. This concept of original sin does not quite wash here. The writings of our church, the writings of Emanuel Swedenborg, scientist and theologian, tells us, he says specifically in telling the Genesis stories, when he gets to the story of Abraham, that from now on, this is all history. This is factual history. Before this, everything was made up history, he says. Doesn't use the word mythology, but made up history. This refers to the story of 6 days of creation and Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and the Tower of Babel and Noah and the Ark, made up history. And so if it does you any good, you can tell your friends if they start to come at you for being biblical literates, go, no, no, and in our church we think all those old stories are made up history. Doesn't mean that they're not true. Just means that they are factually not what we normally think of. But they do tell a truth. And the truth is, for Swedenborg and for our church, there is no original sin, but rather there is inherited or hereditary evil. That we are all born into an inherited evil. Evil that we assume from our parents, who assumed it from their parents and their parents and back and back and back to the beginning. When mankind, human nature, as my brother-in-law expressed it the other night, we have visitors. Human nature is essentially selfish and greedy. We want it all for ourselves. And that is the broken nature of this world. And to put that aside, what we must do is be born anew in the Spirit. This is what the Lord tells us in the Gospel of John, in the long conversation, that lovely conversation with Nicodemus. He doesn't talk about being born again, which is a term that irritates some people, but many glom onto, but rather to be born in the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, that he says. What is born of the flesh is selfish and greedy. What is born of Spirit is Spirit. And from Spirit, we begin to become better people. We begin to be less homo sapien and more human. We come into the full capacity of our lives as human beings. It's Mother's Day. Anna Jarvis created Mother's Day to honor her own mom, who passed away in 1905. By 1907, Anna Jarvis had established Mother's Day in her home state. I believe it was Michigan. I can't remember. West Virginia? Thank you, Nan. Little detail that I had forgotten. Within 7 years, she had pushed that concept to the point that President Woodrow Wilson signed a declaration that henceforth in the United States, the second Sunday in May would be celebrated as Mother's Day. And so here we are. Within 10 years, Anna Jarvis regretted what she had done because she looked around and was appalled by how commercialized this heartfelt message and this heartfelt day had become. Stationers selling Mother's Day cards, all you had to do was scratch your name at the bottom, "Here, Mom." Florists taking advantage of it, confectioners taking advantage of it, restaurateurs taking advantage of it, railway lines having special goings into the country, "Come and take your mom out for Mother's Day." She was appalled. And she and her sister formed the American Mother's Day Association. They actually copyrighted the phrases "second day in May," "second Sunday in May," and the phrase "Mother's Day," to try to give them some way to leverage against just this gross commercialization that she had started. Obviously, she failed. And that she died, she and her sister died in poverty. They could not put the genie back into the bottle. Selfishness and greed. The first utterances of human nature. I invite you to read the quote from Emanuel Swedenborg that's in our bulletin about the sorts of freedom that we have. And natural freedom for him is just, "I want it all for myself." We need to put this aside. We can put this aside. But it reaches up its head and just snatches us at the strangest moments when we try to assert our own selfish desires and needs, when we try to be in control, when we try to have the power in the situation. I am not a mother, never have been, but I can share a little bit of parenting, and I think those of you who have been parents can agree with that. You watch your little darlings, you go, you pick them up from school, they're happy, and they're playing with their friends, and they're these great social creatures, and they get in the car, and they dump everything on you. And you come home and they are just surly and cannot let go of what has happened, and they dump it all on you there at home. And it hurts. And in truth, that's what we all do with home. We all come home like after a bad day and maybe come in and go, "Listen, I've had a rotten day today. I'm going to pop a beer. I'm going to watch the Giants game. You're probably best if you just leave me alone." We learn this as we get older, but when we're young, we just come and we drop it. We grow out of it. We get older and learn that we don't have to do this to the people we love. But in the midst of it, I can remember times where it's just like, "Man, I can't take this. I haven't done anything. Why is this coming to me?" Because it's home. Because it's safe. go home and kick the dog. And the dog is sometimes mom and dad. But I can remember at times thinking, I don't deserve this. I haven't done anything. Get me out of here. What am I going to do? You know, how can I get back at them? I'm just going to leave here. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm being crucified for this. And I choose the word crucified because it's like I am being punished for something I have not done. But then miracle of miracles. I chose that word crucified to myself. And then I'm like, crucified. Wow. Yeah, I know a story of someone who was crucified. And did they dump it all on him? Yes, Lord, they did. Absolutely every frustration, absolutely every resentment, absolutely every problem, let's dump it on this guy who dares to stand up. And what was his response was not to say, I'm leaving, I'm getting out of here, how can I get back on them? But yes, I love you. I'll take this. I'll do this for you. This is how much I love you. Now, this does not mean in our lives to just roll over at everything that happens. Turn the other cheek, of course. Walk a mile in the other's shoes, of course. Give your cloak to the other and your jacket as well, your coat as well, of course. But it doesn't mean to suffer and to absorb all injustice and all oppression, to stand against injustice and oppression is, in fact, one of the highest forms of love of the neighbor. And so, we didn't know, many of us, until Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on a bus, said, I'm tired, I've worked a long, hard day, I paid full fare to sit here, I'm not getting up. A lot of white folks didn't know. It's like, well, our Negroes are happy that they're not slaves anymore. That should be enough for them. We didn't know. Many of us did not know until Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee was published and the American Indian Movement went and occupied Alcatraz Island. Many of us never sat down to go, oh my gosh, you know, we stole this whole country from the indigenous people. We didn't know. Talk about systemic hereditary evil. Many of us didn't know until the Stonewall riots that homosexual people may not be happy with the way they're being treated. We thought that they could just be innocuous and sort of fly below the radar. That would be satisfactory. We didn't know. Systemic and hereditary evil. We didn't know until Cesar Chavez stood up and took a stand for his people that the wetbacks that we saw working in the fields down in the Central Valley weren't just delighted to work in whatever godforsaken conditions their employers were willing to give them just enough to keep them from rebelling. We didn't know. Hereditary and systemic evil. But we can put it all aside. We can be born in the Spirit. And this is what brings us here today, to be led and to understand what is going on. The Lord told us, take up your cross. Don't wait until this is all fixed up. Until you feel like you're ready, take up your cross now and follow. And we will do this together. We will create a new Jerusalem, we will help it be. We won't just sit and wait for it to happen inevitably. Last night, as I was putting everything to bed and shutting down my computer and not real happy with this sermon that I had prepared for today, last thing before I shut down was I checked on Facebook. And my cousin Mark English had a posting on Facebook, and I thought it was perfect. Funny how these things happen. He sent a quote from the Dalai Lama, which I thought wrapped up what I was hoping to say today much better than I've been able to say it so far. This is what Mark posted for us, the Dalai Lama. I believe all suffering is caused by ignorance. People inflict pain on others in the selfish pursuit of their own happiness and satisfaction. And yet true happiness comes from a sense of peace or contentment, which in turn must be achieved through the cultivation of altruism, of love, and of compassion, and elimination of ignorance and selfishness and greed. Dalai Lama. And so happy Mother's Day to everyone. And everyone, please do remember to keep a magic towel in your hip pocket. You never know when somebody may need it.